will make wine. The earth will be as lonely as a desert. A person will wish to see another human, or just to hear someone's voice. Only 10 people will survive in a city, and only 2 will be left in the countryside, hidden in a forest or a cave. When olives are picked from their trees, 3 or 4 are left behind. And when grapes are gathered in a vineyard, a few bunches are overlooked by even the most careful pickers. That's how it will be when these disasters begin. Soldiers with swords will search each home, ready to kill any survivors. And only 3 or 4 won't be found. The land will be empty. Its fields will be covered with thorns. Its roads and paths will be overgrown with weeds, because no sheep will graze there. Young women will be sad because no one will be left to marry them. And wives will mourn because their husbands will be dead. And daughters will groan in sorrow because there will be no one to help them. Every young man will die in battle, and every husband will die of starvation. The Lord's people must be ready for the coming disasters. Ezra said, "Listen to me, you people who faithfully worship the Lord. I have a message from him, so pay attention and believe it. The disasters will begin very soon, and nothing can stop them. A woman about to give birth suffers pain for 2 or 3 hours before her baby is born. But when the right time comes, she cannot stop it. The same is true for the world when these disasters strike. It will groan in pain and will not be able to stop the troubles. My people, listen to what I am saying. Prepare for the battles and act as if you don't live on this earth. Sellers must run from a sale, and buyers must expect to be cheated. Merchants must not expect a profit, and builders must not expect to live in a house they've built. Farmers must not expect to gather their crops or pick their grapes. You married couples must not expect to have children, and you unmarried people will live as if you were widows. All your work will have been for nothing, because foreigners will harvest your crops and steal your possessions. These foreigners will rob your homes and make your children their slaves. Children will either become slaves or else starve to death, and whatever money you earn will be stolen. The more you spend to decorate your cities and your homes and to make yourselves attractive, the angrier I, the Lord, will become with you because of your sins. Just as a good woman hates prostitutes, so right living hates the attraction of wickedness. Right living will show how useless evil is when God comes to judge this sinful world. So don't follow the ways of sinners, because very soon all wickedness will be wiped off the earth, and goodness will rule us all. Sins cannot be hidden from God. Sinners won't be able to deny their evil ways. In fact, God will torture them with burning coals if they say they have not sinned against him and his glory. The Lord God knows everything we do and plan and feel. He created the earth and the heavens with just a command. With one word, he put the stars in place, and he knows exactly how many there are. He knows what treasures lie in the deepest parts of the sea, and he has carefully measured it and everything there. He commanded the sea to stay in its place and the land to stay above the water. He stretched out the sky like a dome and made sure it stays above the ocean. He made springs of water in the dry desert, and lakes at the tops of mountains, so they could run down to form rivers and to water the ground. He made human beings, and gave each of them a heart. He gave them the breath of life and clear understanding, and he put in them his own powerful spirit. God all-powerful, who created all things and knows every secret, did these things. The Lord himself knows what you plan and what you think. Don't be foolish enough to imagine that you can hide your sins from him. He will carefully look at everything you've done and judge you in front of everyone. On that day, you will be ashamed of your evil ways, and they will prove you guilty. What will you do then? Will you still try to hide your sins from God? He is your final judge, so fear him. Stop sinning once and for all, and turn from your wickedness. Maybe God will rescue you from the coming disasters. The Lord promises to rescue his people. A powerful, angry mob of people is ready to drag many of you away and force you to eat food that has been sacrificed to idols. Anyone who eats this food will be mocked and insulted and abused. In city after city, my faithful people will be beaten and tortured. The attackers will be wild and will show no mercy to anyone. They will beat and kill everyone who worships me. They will steal their possessions and burn down their homes, leaving my people with no places to live. But my followers will prove their faithfulness by surviving these tortures, just as gold is purified with fire. So listen to me, my chosen people. The days of misery will soon be here, but I will rescue you. Don't be afraid, and don't give up. I am your God, and I will protect you. You have always obeyed my laws and commands, so don't let your sins take over and control you. You're in for trouble if you let your sins trap you or take over your thinking. You will be nothing but a field of weeds, with its paths so covered with thorns that no one can walk through it. You will be ignored and left to be completely wiped out by fire.
This ends 2 Esdras, narrated by Jack Garrett. And now, Psalm 151, narrated by George Wilson.
Psalm 151. About this book. This short psalm is numbered 151 because it is included right after Psalm 150 in the ancient Greek translation of the Old Testament. For the most part, Psalm 151 is based on 1 Samuel, chapters 16 through 17. Psalm 151. This psalm is not included with the others, but it is said to have been written by David after he had fought Goliath by himself. I was my father's youngest and smallest son, and I took care of his sheep. With my own hands I made a small harp. And who will tell my Lord? Will it be the Lord himself? He is the one who hears. The Lord sent his messenger to take me from my father's sheep and show that I would be king. He did not choose my brothers, though they were tall and handsome. When I went out to fight that Philistine giant, he cursed me in the name of his idols. But with his own sword I cut off his head and removed the disgrace from the people of Israel.
You have been listening to The Holy Bible, Deuterocanonical's Apocrypha, Part 4. narrated by Nelson Runger, Jack Garrett, and George Wilson. The Gospel of Matthew, narrated by Peter Francis James.
Matthew. About this book. The Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer, and the Golden Rule are all in this book. It is perhaps the best known and the most quoted of all the books that have ever been written about Jesus. That is one reason why Matthew was placed first among the four books about Jesus called Gospels. One of the most important ideas found here is that God expects his people to obey him, and this is what is meant by the Greek word that appears in many translations as righteousness. It is used 7 times by Matthew, but only once by Luke, and not at all by Mark. So it is an important clue to much of what Matthew wants his readers to understand about the teaching of Jesus. Jesus first uses this word at his own baptism, when he tells John the Baptist, "We must do all that God wants us to do." Then during his Sermon on the Mount, he speaks 5 more times of what God's people must do to obey him. And finally, he reminds the chief priests and leaders of the people, "John the Baptist showed you how to do right." Matthew wanted to provide for the people of his time a record of Jesus' message and ministry. It is clear that the Old Testament scriptures were very important to these people, and Matthew never fails to show when these texts point to the coming of Jesus as the Messiah sent from God. Matthew wrote this book to make sure Christians knew that their faith in Jesus as the Messiah was well anchored in the Old Testament scriptures, and to help them grow in faith. The Ancestors of Jesus, Chapter 1. Jesus Christ came from the family of King David, and also from the family of Abraham. And this is a list of his ancestors. From Abraham to King David, his ancestors were Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and his brothers. Judah's sons were Perez and Zerah, and their mother was Tamar. Hezron, Ram, Amminadab, Nashon, Salmon, Boaz, his mother was Rahab, Obed, his mother was Ruth, Jesse, and King David. From David to the time of exile in Babylonia, the ancestors of Jesus were David, Solomon, his mother had been Uriah's wife, Rehoboam, Abijah, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Amon, Josiah, and Jehoiachin, and his brothers. From the exile to the birth of Jesus, his ancestors were Jehoiachin, Shealtiel, Zerubbabel, Abiad, Eliakim, Azor, Zadok, Akim, Eliad, Eleazar, Matthan, Jacob, and Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. There were 14 generations from Abraham to David. There were also 14 from David to the exile in Babylonia, and 14 more to the birth of the Messiah. The birth of Jesus. This is how Jesus Christ was born. A young woman named Mary was engaged to Joseph from King David's family. But before they were married, she learned that she was going to have a baby by God's Holy Spirit. Joseph was a good man and did not want to embarrass Mary in front of everyone. So he decided to quietly call off the wedding. While Joseph was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, the baby that Mary will have is from the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and marry her." Then after her baby is born, name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet had said, a virgin will have a baby boy, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. After Joseph woke up, he and Mary were soon married, just as the Lord's angel had told him to do. But they did not sleep together before her baby was born. Then Joseph named him Jesus. The Wise Men, Chapter 2. When Jesus was born in the village of Bethlehem in Judea, Herod was king. During this time, some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and said, "Where is the child born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was worried, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. Herod brought together the chief priests and the teachers of the law of Moses and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" They told him, "He will be born in Bethlehem, just as the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem in the land of Judea, you are very important among the towns of Judea. From your town will come a leader who will be like a shepherd for my people Israel.'" Herod secretly called in the wise men and asked them when they had first seen the star. He told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, let me know. I want to go and worship him too." The wise men listened to what the king said and then left. And the star they had seen in the east went on ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They were thrilled and excited to see the star. When the men went into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they knelt down and worshipped him. They took out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and gave them to him. Later they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, and they went back home by another road. The Escape to Egypt. After the wise men had gone, an angel from the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, hurry and take the child and his mother to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is looking for the child and wants to kill him." That night, Joseph got up and took his wife and the child to Egypt, where they stayed until Herod died. So the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet had said, "I called my son out of Egypt." The Killing of the Children. When Herod found out that the wise men from the east had tricked him, he was very angry. He gave orders for his men to kill all the boys who lived in or near Bethlehem and were 2 years old and younger. This was based on what he had learned from the wise men. So the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet Jeremiah had said, "In Ramah a voice was heard, crying and weeping loudly. Rachel was mourning for her children, and she refused to be comforted, because they were dead." The Return from Egypt. After King Herod died, an angel from the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph while he was still in Egypt. The angel said, "Get up and take the child and his mother back to Israel. The people who wanted to kill him are now dead." Joseph got up and left with them for Israel. But when he heard that Herod's son, Archelaus, was now ruler of Judea, he was afraid to go there. Then in a dream he was told to go to Galilee, and they went to live there in the town of Nazareth. So the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet had said, "He will be called a Nazarene." The Preaching of John the Baptist, Chapter 3. Years later, John the Baptist started preaching in the desert of Judea. He said, "Turn back to God. The kingdom of heaven will soon be here." John was the one the prophet Isaiah was talking about when he said, "In the desert, someone is shouting, 'Get the road ready for the Lord. Make a straight path for him.'" John wore clothes made of camel's hair. He had a leather strap around his waist and ate grasshoppers and wild honey. From Jerusalem and all Judea and from the Jordan River Valley, crowds of people went to John. They told how sorry they were for their sins, and he baptized them in the river. Many Pharisees and Sadducees also came to be baptized, but John said to them, "You bunch of snakes! Who warned you to run from the coming judgment? Do something to show that you have really given up your sins, and don't start telling yourselves that you belong to Abraham's family. I tell you that God can turn these stones into children for Abraham. An axe is ready to cut the trees down at their roots. Any tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into a fire. I baptize you with water, so that you will give up your sins. But someone more powerful is going to come, and I am not good enough even to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His threshing fork is in his hand, and he is ready to separate the wheat from the husks. He will store the wheat in a barn and burn the husks in a fire that never goes out." The Baptism of Jesus. Jesus left Galilee and went to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John kept objecting and said, "I ought to be baptized by you. Why have you come to me?" Jesus answered, "For now, this is how it should be, because we must do all that God wants us to do." Then John agreed. So Jesus was baptized, and as soon as he came out of the water, the sky opened, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down on him like a dove. Then a voice from heaven said, "This is my own dear Son, and I am pleased with him." Jesus and the Devil. Chapter 4. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert, so that the devil could test him. After Jesus had gone without eating for 40 days and nights, he was very hungry. Then the devil came to him and said, "If you are God's Son, tell these stones to turn into bread." Jesus answered, "The Scriptures say, 'No one can live only on food.' People need every word that God has spoken." Next, the devil took Jesus to the holy city and had him stand on the highest part of the temple. The devil said, "If you are God's Son, jump off. The Scriptures say God will give his angels orders about you. They will catch you in their arms, and you won't hurt your feet on the stones." Jesus answered, "The Scriptures also say, 'Don't try to test the Lord your God.'" Finally, the devil took Jesus up on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms on earth and their power. The devil said to him, "I will give all this to you if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus answered, "Go away, Satan. The Scriptures say, 'Worship the Lord your God, and serve only him.'" Then the devil left Jesus, and angels came to help him. Jesus begins his work. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he went to Galilee. but instead of staying in Nazareth, Jesus moved to Capernaum. This town was beside Lake Galilee, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. So God's promise came true, just as the prophet Isaiah had said. Listen, lands of Zebulun and Naphtali, lands along the road to the sea and east of the Jordan. Listen, Galilee, land of the Gentiles. Although your people live in darkness, they will see a bright light. Although they live in the shadow of death, a light will shine on them. Then Jesus started preaching. Turn back to God. The kingdom of heaven will soon be here. Jesus chooses four fishermen. While Jesus was walking along the shore of Lake Galilee, he saw two brothers. One was Simon, also known as Peter, and the other was Andrew. They were fishermen, and they were casting their net into the lake. Jesus said to them, "Come with me. I will teach you how to bring in people instead of fish." Right then the two brothers dropped their nets and went with him. Jesus walked on until he saw James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in a boat with their father, mending their nets. Jesus asked them to come with him too. Right away, they left the boat and their father and went with Jesus. Jesus teaches, preaches, and heals. Jesus went all over Galilee, teaching in the Jewish meeting places and preaching the good news about God's kingdom. He also healed every kind of disease and sickness. News about him spread all over Syria, and people with every kind of sickness or disease were brought to him. Some of them had a lot of demons in them. Others were thought to be crazy, and still others could not walk. But Jesus healed them all. Large crowds followed Jesus from Galilee and the region around the 10 cities known as Decapolis. They also came from Jerusalem, Judea, and from across the Jordan River. The Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 5. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the side of a mountain and sat down. Blessings. Jesus' disciples gathered around him, and he taught them. God blesses those people who depend only on him. They belong to the kingdom of heaven. God blesses those people who grieve. They will find comfort. God blesses those people who are humble. The earth will belong to them. God blesses those people who want to obey him more than to eat or drink. They will be given what they want. God blesses those people who are merciful. They will be treated with mercy. God blesses those people whose hearts are pure. They will see him. God blesses those people who make peace. They will be called his children. God blesses those people who are treated badly for doing right. They belong to the kingdom of heaven. God will bless you when people insult you, mistreat you, and tell all kinds of evil lies about you because of me. Be happy and excited. You will have a great reward in heaven. People did these same things to the prophets who lived long ago. Salt and light. You are like salt for everyone on earth. But if salt no longer tastes like salt, how can it make food salty? All it is good for is to be thrown out and walked on. You are like light for the whole world. A city built on top of a hill cannot be hidden, and no one would light a lamp and put it under a clay pot. A lamp is placed on a lampstand, where it can give light to everyone in the house. Make your light shine, so that others will see the good that you do, and will praise your Father in heaven. The Law of Moses. Don't suppose that I came to do away with the law and the prophets. I did not come to do away with them, but to give them their full meaning. Heaven and earth may disappear, but I promise you that not even a period or comma will ever disappear from the law. Everything written in it must happen. If you reject even the least important command in the law and teach others to do the same, you will be the least important person in the kingdom of heaven. But if you obey and teach others its commands, you will have an important place in the kingdom. You must obey God's commands better than the Pharisees and the teachers of the law obey them. If you don't, I promise you that you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Anger. You know that our ancestors were told, "Do not murder," and "A murderer must be brought to trial." But I promise you that if you are angry with someone, you will have to stand trial. If you call someone a fool, you will be taken to court. And if you say that someone is worthless, you will be in danger of the fires of hell. So if you are about to place your gift on the altar and remember that someone is angry with you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Make peace with that person. Then come back and offer your gift to God. Before you are dragged into court, make friends with the person who has accused you of doing wrong. If you don't, you will be handed over to the judge and then to the officer who will put you in jail. I promise you that you will not get out until you have paid the last cent you owe. Marriage. You know the commandment which says, "Be faithful in marriage." But I tell you that if you look at another woman and want her, you are already unfaithful in your thoughts. If your right eye causes you to sin, poke it out and throw it away. It is better to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to end up in hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, chop it off and throw it away. It is better to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Divorce. You have been taught that a man who divorces his wife must write out divorce papers for her. But I tell you not to divorce your wife unless she has committed some terrible sexual sin. If you divorce her, you will cause her to be unfaithful, just as any man who marries her is guilty of taking another man's wife. Promises. You know that our ancestors were told, "Don't use the Lord's name to make a promise unless you are going to keep it." But I tell you not to swear by anything when you make a promise. Heaven is God's throne, so don't swear by heaven. The earth is God's footstool, so don't swear by the earth. Jerusalem is the city of the great king, so don't swear by it. Don't swear by your own head. You cannot make one hair white or black. When you make a promise, say only yes or no. Anything else comes from the devil. Revenge. You know that you have been taught an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to try to get even with a person who has done something to you. When someone slaps your right cheek, turn and let that person slap your other cheek. If someone sues you for your shirt, give up your coat as well. if a soldier forces you to carry his pack 1 mile, carry it 2 miles. When people ask you for something, give it to them. When they want to borrow money, lend it to them. Love. You have heard people say, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for anyone who mistreats you. Then you will be acting like your Father in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both good and bad people. And he sends rain for the ones who do right and for the ones who do wrong. If you love only those people who love you, will God reward you for that? Even tax collectors love their friends. If you greet only your friends, what's so great about that? Don't even unbelievers do that? But you must always act like your Father in heaven. Giving. Chapter 6. When you do good deeds, don't try to show off. If you do, you won't get a reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to the poor, don't blow a loud horn. That's what show-offs do in the meeting places and on the street corners, because they are always looking for praise. I can assure you that they already have their reward. When you give to the poor, don't let anyone know about it. Then your gift will be given in secret. Your Father knows what is done in secret, and he will reward you. Prayer. When you pray, don't be like those show-offs who love to stand up and pray in the meeting places and on the street corners. They do this just to look good. I can assure you that they already have their reward. When you pray, go into a room alone and close the door. Pray to your Father in private. He knows what is done in private, and he will reward you. When you pray, don't talk on and on as people do who don't know God. They think God likes to hear long prayers. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask. You should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, help us to honor your name. Come and set up your kingdom, so that everyone on earth will obey you, as you are obeyed in heaven. Give us our food for today. Forgive us for doing wrong, as we forgive others. Keep us from being tempted, and protect us from evil. If you forgive others for the wrongs they do to you, your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Worshipping God by going without eating. When you go without eating, don't try to look gloomy as those show-offs do when they go without eating. I can assure you that they already have their reward. Instead, comb your hair and wash your face. Then others won't know that you are going without eating. But your Father sees what is done in private, and he will reward you. Treasures in heaven. Don't store up treasures on earth. Moths and rust can destroy them, and thieves can break in and steal them. Instead, store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy them, and thieves cannot break in and steal them. Your heart will always be where your treasure is. Light. Your eyes are like a window for your body. When they are good, you have all the light you need. But when your eyes are bad, everything is dark. If the light inside you is dark, you surely are in the dark. Money. You cannot be the slave of two masters. You will like one more than the other, or be more loyal to one than the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Worry. I tell you not to worry about your life. Don't worry about having something to eat, drink, or wear. Isn't life more than food or clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't plant or harvest. They don't even store grain in barns. Yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth more than birds? Can worry make you live longer? Why worry about clothes? Look how the wild flowers grow. They don't work hard to make their clothes, but I tell you that Solomon, with all his wealth, wasn't as well clothed as one of them. God gives such beauty to everything that grows in the fields, even though it is here today and thrown into a fire tomorrow. He will surely do even more for you. Why do you have such little faith? Don't worry and ask yourselves, will we have anything to eat? Will we have anything to drink? Will we have any clothes to wear? Only people who don't know God are always worrying about such things. Your Father in heaven knows that you need all of these. But more than anything else, put God's work first and do what He wants. Then the other things will be yours as well. Don't worry about tomorrow. It will take care of itself. You have enough to worry about today. Judging Others. Chapter 7. Don't condemn others, and God won't condemn you. God will be as hard on you as you are on others. He will treat you exactly as you treat them. You can see the speck in your friend's eye, but you don't notice the log in your own eye. How can you say, "My friend, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you don't see the log in your own eye? You're nothing but show-offs. First, take the log out of your own eye. Then you can see how to take the speck out of your friend's eye. Don't give to dogs what belongs to God. They will only turn and attack you. Don't throw pearls down in front of pigs. They will trample all over them. Ask, search, knock. Ask, and you will receive. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. Everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who searches will find. And the door will be opened for everyone who knocks. Would any of you give your hungry child a stone, if the child asked for some bread? Would you give your child a snake, if the child asked for a fish? As bad as you are, you still know how to give good gifts to your children. But your heavenly Father is even more ready to give good things to people who ask. Treat others as you want them to treat you. This is what the law and the prophets are all about. The Narrow Gate. Go in through the narrow gate. The gate to destruction is wide, and the road that leads there is easy to follow. A lot of people go through that gate. But the gate to life is very narrow. The road that leads there is so hard to follow that only a few people find it. A tree and its fruit. Watch out for false prophets. They dress up like sheep, but inside they are wolves who have come to attack you. You can tell what they are by what they do. No one picks grapes or figs from thorn bushes. A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Every tree that produces bad fruit will be chopped down and burned. You can tell who the false prophets are by their deeds. A warning. Not everyone who calls me their Lord will get into the kingdom of heaven. Only the ones who obey my Father in heaven will get in. On the day of judgment, many will call me their Lord. They will say, We preached in your name, and in your name we forced out demons and worked many miracles. But I will tell them, I will have nothing to do with you. Get out of my sight, you evil people. Two builders. Anyone who hears and obeys these teachings of mine is like a wise person who built a house on solid rock. Rain poured down, rivers flooded, and winds beat against that house. But it did not fall, because it was built on solid rock. Anyone who hears my teachings and doesn't obey them is like a foolish person who built a house on sand. The rain poured down, the rivers flooded, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Finally, it fell with a crash. When Jesus finished speaking, the crowds were surprised at his teaching. He taught them like someone with authority, and not like their teachers of the law of Moses. Jesus heals a man. Chapter 8. As Jesus came down the mountain, he was followed by large crowds. Suddenly a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus. He said, Lord, you have the power to make me well, if only you wanted to. Jesus put his hand on the man and said, I want to. Now you are well. At once the man's leprosy disappeared. Jesus told him, Don't tell anyone about this, but go and show the priest that you are well. Then take a gift to the temple, just as Moses commanded, and everyone will know that you have been healed. Jesus heals an army officer's servant. When Jesus was going into the town of Capernaum, an army officer came up to him and said, Lord, my servant is at home in such terrible pain that he can't even move. I will go and heal him, Jesus replied. But the officer said, Lord, I'm not good enough for you to come into my house. Just give the order, and my servant will get well. I have officers who give orders to me, and I have soldiers who take orders from me. I can say to one of them, Go, and he goes. I can say to another, Come, and he comes. I can say to my servant, Do this, and he will do it. When Jesus heard this, he was so surprised that he turned and said to the crowd following him, I tell you that in all of Israel, I've never found anyone with this much faith. Many people will come from everywhere to enjoy the feast in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the ones who should have been in the kingdom will be thrown out into the dark. They will cry and grit their teeth in pain. Then Jesus said to the officer, You may go home now. Your faith has made it happen. Right then, his servant was healed. Jesus heals many people. Jesus went to the home of Peter, where he found that Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with fever. He took her by the hand, and the fever left her. Then she got up and served Jesus a meal. That evening, many people with demons in them were brought to Jesus. And with only a word, he forced out the evil spirits and healed everyone who was sick. So God's promise came true, just as the prophet Isaiah had said, He healed our diseases and made us well. Some who wanted to go with Jesus. When Jesus saw the crowd, he went across Lake Galilee. A teacher of the law of Moses came up to him and said, Teacher, I'll go anywhere with you. Jesus replied, Foxes have dens, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to call his own. Another disciple said to Jesus, Lord, let me wait till I bury my father. Jesus answered, Come with me, and let the dead bury their dead. A storm. After Jesus left in a boat with his disciples, a terrible storm suddenly struck the lake, and waves started splashing into their boat. Jesus was sound asleep, so the disciples went over to him and woke him up. They said, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. But Jesus replied, Why are you so afraid? You surely don't have much faith. Then he got up and ordered the wind and the waves to calm down, and everything was calm. The men in the boat were amazed and said, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Two men with demons in them. After Jesus had crossed the lake, he came to shore near the town of Gadara and started down the road. Two men with demons in them came to him from the tombs. They were so fierce that no one could travel that way. Suddenly they shouted, Jesus, Son of God, what do you want with us? Have you come to punish us before our time? Not far from there, a large herd of pigs was feeding. So the demons begged Jesus, If you force us out, please send us into those pigs. Jesus told them to go, and they went out of the men and into the pigs. All at once the pigs rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. The people taking care of the pigs ran to the town and told everything, especially what had happened to the two men. Everyone in town came out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they begged him to leave their part of the country. Jesus heals a crippled man. Chapter 9. Jesus got into a boat and crossed back over to the town where he lived. Some people soon brought to him a crippled man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw how much faith they had, he said to the crippled man, My friend, don't worry. Your sins are forgiven. Some teachers of the law of Moses said to themselves, Jesus must think he is God. But Jesus knew what was in their minds, and he said, Why are you thinking such evil things? Is it easier for me to tell this crippled man that his sins are forgiven, or to tell him to get up and walk? But I will show you that the Son of Man has the right to forgive sins here on earth. So Jesus said to the man, Get up, pick up your mat, and go on home. The man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were afraid and praised God for giving such authority to people. Jesus chooses Matthew. As Jesus was leaving, he saw a tax collector named Matthew sitting at the place for paying taxes. Jesus said to him, Come with me. Matthew got up and went with him. Later, Jesus and his disciples were having dinner at Matthew's house. Many tax collectors and other sinners were also there. Some Pharisees asked Jesus' disciples, Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and other sinners? Jesus heard them and answered, Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. Go and learn what the scriptures mean when they say, Instead of offering sacrifices to me, I want you to be merciful to others. I didn't come to invite good people to be my followers. I came to invite sinners. People ask about going without eating. One day some followers of John the Baptist came and asked Jesus, Why do we and the Pharisees often go without eating, while your disciples never do? Jesus answered, The friends of a bridegroom don't go without eating while he is still with them, but the time will come when he will be taken from them. Then they will go without eating. No one uses a new piece of cloth to patch old clothes. the patch would shrink and tear a bigger hole. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. The wine would swell and burst the old skins. Then the wine would be lost, and the skins would be ruined. New wine must be put into new wineskins. Both the skins and the wine will then be safe. A dying girl and a sick woman. While Jesus was still speaking, an official came and knelt in front of him. The man said, "My daughter has just now died. Please come and place your hand on her. Then she will live again." Jesus and his disciples got up and went with the man. A woman who had been bleeding for 12 years came up behind Jesus and barely touched his clothes. She had said to herself, "If I can just touch his clothes, I will get well." Jesus turned. He saw the woman and said, "Don't worry. You are now well because of your faith." At that moment she was healed. When Jesus went into the home of the official and saw the musicians and the crowd of mourners, he said, "Get out of here. The little girl isn't dead. She is just asleep." Everyone started laughing at Jesus. But after the crowd had been sent out of the house, Jesus went to the girl's bedside. He took her by the hand and helped her up. News about this spread all over that part of the country. Jesus heals two blind men. As Jesus was walking along, two blind men began following him and shouting, "Son of David, have pity on us." After Jesus had gone indoors, the two blind men came up to him. He asked them, "Do you believe I can make you well?" "Yes, Lord," they answered. Jesus touched their eyes and said, "Because of your faith, you will be healed." They were able to see, and Jesus strictly warned them not to tell anyone about him. But they left and talked about him to everyone in that part of the country. Jesus heals a man who could not talk. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, some people brought to him a man who could not talk because a demon was in him. After Jesus had forced the demon out, the man started talking. The crowds were so amazed that they began saying, "Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "The leader of the demons gives him the power to force out demons." Jesus has pity on people. Jesus went to every town and village. He taught in their meeting places and preached the good news about God's kingdom. Jesus also healed every kind of disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he felt sorry for them. They were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "A large crop is in the fields, but there are only a few workers. Ask the Lord in charge of the harvest to send out workers to bring it in." Jesus chooses his 12 apostles. Chapter 10. Jesus called together his 12 disciples. He gave them the power to force out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and sickness. The first of the 12 apostles was Simon, better known as Peter. His brother Andrew was an apostle, and so were James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus were also apostles. The others were Simon, known as the Eager One, and Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed Jesus. Instructions for the 12 apostles. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. Stay away from the Gentiles, and don't go to any Samaritan town. Go only to the people of Israel, because they are like a flock of lost sheep. As you go, announce that the kingdom of heaven will soon be here. Heal the sick. Raise the dead to life. Heal people who have leprosy. And force out demons. You received without paying. Now give without being paid. Don't take along any gold, silver, or copper coins. And don't carry a traveling bag or an extra shirt or sandals or a walking stick. Workers deserve their food. So, when you go to a town or a village, find someone worthy enough to have you as their guest and stay with them until you leave. When you go to a home, give it your blessing of peace. If the home is deserving, let your blessing remain with them. But if the home isn't deserving, take back your blessing of peace. If someone won't welcome you or listen to your message, leave their home or town, and shake the dust from your feet at them. I promise you that the day of judgment will be easier for the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Warning about trouble. I am sending you like lambs into a pack of wolves, so be as wise as snakes and as innocent as doves. Watch out for people who will take you to court and have you beaten in their meeting places. Because of me, you will be dragged before rulers and kings to tell them and the Gentiles about your faith. But when someone arrests you, don't worry about what you will say or how you will say it. At that time you will be given the words to say. But you will not really be the one speaking. The Spirit from your Father will tell you what to say. Brothers and sisters will betray one another and have each other put to death. Parents will betray their own children, and children will turn against their parents and have them killed. Everyone will hate you because of me.